Our reading today continues in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, the 16th verse through the 24th. We know love by this, that he has laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love, not in word or in speech, but in truth, in action. And by this we shall know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God. And we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit that he has given us. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
When I was thinking about this verse over the last week, I didn't go back and check, but I think somewhere during Lent maybe I came out of or referred to chapter 7 in Matthew, where it says, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. When you hear that, that is some pretty, that's a pretty loaded passage from Jesus. I mean, it's some kind of disturbing stuff. It's pretty harsh. I mean, that's how it affected me. I don't know if it affected you that way, but I'm thinking, okay, I need to be doing my Father's will. Plain and simple. But how do I do that? How do you do that? Our scripture lesson today, this morning, 1 John gives us a bit of a roadmap on how we can do the Father's will. First, it simply states to us very plain, this is God's command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. You know, I think many times the believing in Jesus' name, we're good at that. We believe in his name maybe only. That's what we do. But we're not good at loving one another. We believe, but then we have a little trouble putting that into action. You know, part of that, I think, comes from our mindset that God is this moralistic judge of all of us. He's just waiting for one of us to step out of line, to catch us out. You know, we kind of sit in fear of that, maybe. But that's not how it is. We think God is not fun. Well, I'd say he is. I think he has a terrific sense of humor. We also think that if we walk around very somber, very miserable looking with a scowl on our face, that somehow that reflects on our piety, that we look like we're just a little bit holier than everybody else, that we have a deeper faith than everybody else. Not so. I think Jesus was a very happy person. People wanted to hang out with him. They certainly weren't going to be around somebody who was miserable all the time. Think about it. He was there with the marginalized people, the lepers, the tax collectors, people like Mary Magdalene, people that were kept outside the walls of the city. And they were happy to be with Jesus. Why did they love to hang out with him? He wasn't like the other priest. He wasn't like the other institutional religious leaders. He didn't judge them. Think about it. Jesus would have made a really great Pharisee had he wanted to be one. I'm sure the devil tempted him with that repeatedly. He would have been acceptable in the eyes of the religious institution. They probably would have preferred him to come and be a Pharisee instead of what he was doing, being counterculture to them. He would have been the big guy in town. He already was, but he would have been recognized by it. Others would have noticed him. He would have worn the big prayer bands on his arms that the Pharisees wore and the long tassels that they had. They wore those in order to make themselves look special and extra holy. People would have thought this great teacher would have been right in place, especially when he took a seat at the high honor in these highfalutin banquets for the super superior. He would have been right at home. If he played his cards right, he would have been greeted by these Pharisees and Sadducees in the upper echelons with a place of honor. The legal experts and the Pharisees would have loved him. He might have had a longer life. He may not have gone to the cross for us. Only he did not speak out the way he did. If only he had towed the line with the right words and kept away from those ragamuffins of society. But that is not who Jesus was. That is not who God is. That is not the will of the Father. Instead, Jesus humbled himself. Even though he was God, he humbled himself into being a servant. And the so-called losers of this world loved him. They loved him because he loved them first. What a beautiful way to live. Jesus laid down his life for us out of love. The scripture tells us this is how we will know what love is. That we ought to lay down our lives for others. We ought to lay down our lives for others. Does this mean in order to do God's will, that we need to be crucified like Jesus? Well, no. Jesus has already done that. He's already taken up our sins. He's already become the sacrificial lamb. The victory has already been won. He died, so we don't have to. What does it mean for us to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters? What does that actually mean? It's not just words. It's not just mumbling through the creeds on Sunday morning. It's not just saying the Lord's Prayer on Sunday mornings. Although those are meaningful things and they should be done. Laying down our lives means responding to people in need, just like Jesus did. It means taking time for others. It means befriending the homeless, the ailing, the hurting, those marginalized in our society. It means making space in your heart so that the Holy Spirit can work in such ways that when our fellow human beings are hurting, it also affects us and affects us deeply. It means that we don't live our lives shutting out the world and that we just go about our business and only our lives. It means we don't ignore those that are marginalized, those who may be unpopular, those who may be annoying. This is the kind of stuff, although it is not easy, but it is the stuff that's going to make our lives worthwhile and makes us have a full life. It's what brings us, in many ways, closer to God. It is the way that they will know that you are truly a Christian. There is no other way. And it's not that easy. And sometimes we forget. You know, I'm going to tell a story about a man named Bill Hill that I encountered in my very first appointment as a pastor at Gateway United Methodist Church. They had a long-standing food pantry. But to this food pantry, they added a hot meal where people could come in, sit down, get out of the weather, and have a hot meal, and they were served. And this went on, they did this every Wednesday. It's not something I created. I walked into and got to be blessed by it. And then COVID hit. And we put our minds, you know what happened, COVID, everything shut down, right? And it was kind of what were we going to do with our food pantry, our hot meal ministry? It never missed a Wednesday. We rethought how we did it. And a lot of that was the insistence of Bill Hill. He had had been injured when he was in the CBs and had a brain injury, but he was a wonderful man, but his feelings were part of the brain, were always right at the surface. And so things, when he talked about them, would become very emotional for him. And he said, we can't shut down our Wednesday mission. He said, I see folks, and in their conditions, and that is what keeps me grounded in reality. That is what is important to my spiritual health. I don't think I had ever heard it quite put that way, my spiritual health. By doing our Wednesday mission, by getting out there and helping others, reinventing the wheel just so we could keep it going, was important to him. He was putting his faith really in action. Lots of people say they believe in the name of Jesus, but they're not willing to change. They're not willing to change their lives or spend time with others. It just doesn't mean that much to them. The message today tells us that believing in the name of Jesus means believing Jesus Christ saves us by making us more like Him. He is the one at work. The Holy Spirit is the one at work that is changing us so that we may become more like Him. What did Jesus do? You know what He did. He fed the hungry. He loved the poor. He went where they were. He didn't wait for them to come to Him. He took care of a people's immediate and eternal needs. Jesus had compassion. And His compassion led to action. Jesus says, "What good is it if a person claims to have faith but has no needs?" We don't have to go over this again. You know that it is not works that makes your faith, but your deep faith that draws you into doing work for others, into action for others. He goes on to say, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs. What good is it? What good is it if we encounter the needy and offer no help? What good is it if we encounter someone who's hurting and offer no prayers, no help? What good is it? What good is it if we don't use our faith? Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." But our passage today says if we close our hearts to a sister or brother in need, we close our hearts to God Himself. That happens to us from time to time because we are human. And it's not a fun way to live. It's not the way we want to live. It's not the way God intended us to live. In fact, it's really not living at all if you're not living your Christianity as an action verb. I think Birch Chapel does a great job of mission work and taking care of people and helping people. And I've seen it over these years. How much we reach out to each other. How much we reach out to the community. What would happen in this church if we had a vision to truly commit to our faith, believing in Jesus, by truly loving one another and putting our faith where our action is, or putting action where our faith is? You know, in the Bible it says, I looked it up, I'm probably going to get these wrong, somewhere in King James Version it uses love one another 300 and something times. The NIV, I think, has over 564 times. It uses love one another. There is a version, I can't remember what it is, but it's 700 and something times, because I got to thinking, I have used this love one another a lot in my sermons. I don't think I'm up to 750 something sermons yet. But there's a reason. There's a reason why it's said to us over and over again, because this is the main point, particularly of the New Testament. This is what He tells us to do. And just like the people in the New Testament who couldn't get it on the first go around, we have to hear it a lot. So probably in some version every Sunday for a while, we're going to hear this, but it is not an old message. It's a great message. One that we should truly live into. Amen and amen.